The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This weekend was a lot of fun, Max Kellerman. I watched a lot of good basketball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night really capped it off for me. How you doing today, Max? You good?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah, that was what a weekend of basketball.
Molly,
huh, Stephen A?
Hope you had a good weekend.
Hey, listen. It didn't end as much as the way I would like to, but it was it was a beautiful time being at Madison. I was at Madison Square Garden with my peeps. Mm. We represented, okay?
I'm going to deal with you in a second.
Mid bag of shells. Ain't no biggie.
We got a lot to unpack today, everybody. Let's go. He may be young, but he's ready. Trey silencing Madison Square Garden game one. Even Stephen A and his crew leading his team to a 2-point win over the Knicks. A dominant playoff debut. Young joined a trio of Hall of Famers as the fourth player with a 30-point double-double in his first career playoff game at the current MSG. Trey, talk to me.
Got real quiet in there. It got real quiet in there. It's still yelling now. I don't care. Next.
It's tough to get quiet with all those angry New Yorkers back in the building. Stephen A, how do you feel about your Knicks?
I feel fine. Let me stop lying. I feel a little worried.
Okay.
Only because Trae Young is special. Let's just start off the show giving this young brother his props. And the reason I say give the young brother his props, Max, is because we keep forgetting. We've been talking about Luka so much over the years, and rightfully so, because Luka is just a superstar in the making if he's not already there. But the Atlanta Hawks gave up the number 3 overall pick, allowed Dallas to trade up so they could get Luka Doncic instead of Atlanta grabbing him themselves. And as a result of that, they had Trae Young, and we all look at Trae Young as this nice little player, whatever. But this brother is cat quick. He's got a nasty handle. He can pass. He damn sure could shoot. And to be able to get in the lane with such ease the way that he has, and mastering that floater, this dude's offensive repertoire is something special, and I'm going to give him all the love in the world because he deserves it. However, them damn Knicks, let me tell you something right now. Tom Thibodeau's number 2 and my coach of the year, Monty Williams,
yep.
Okay? Let's understand something here. Max Kellerman, you can't take Frank Ntilikina off the bench, play him 1 minute, and then in a cold and everything, and you're going to ask him to guard Trae Young. How you going to do something like that? That just doesn't make any sense, okay? And Julius Randle, there were 2 All-Stars in this game. Mm-hmm. One showed up.
Now, there was 1 All-Star in that game, really.
Julius Randle, like, literally is an All-Star. He was in the All-Star game, like Trae Young. You know, he's an All-Star. He did not show up last night. He was nervous. He was rushing stuff. He was making bad decisions. Even on the last shot when the inbounds ball was thrown to him. Max, you had 0.9 seconds. You could have kicked it right back out to Alex Burke, who had 27 and was shooting the ball well all game long, instead of you shooting some fall-away jump shot. And then before that, there was an air ball, a brick that he shot from 3.
Brick.
I did not expect that from Julius Randle. I have every confidence that he will make up for this. But Max, make no mistake, he needs to make up for it because it wasn't a great night for him.
So you were at Madison Square Garden, right?
I was there in the house, man.
Did you use a press pass or did you buy a ticket?
A press pass. I wanted to buy a ticket.
Right. I wanted to buy a ticket.
Did you bring your ID?
I did not.
Oh,
I
didn't.
Stephen A. knows why I'm asking. Because sometimes if you work in the business, you get a press pass, press section, you can't really cheer. Sometimes when you have a rooting interest, you're like, to hell with that. I'm going to spend the money because I want to be loud. I want to cheer for my team. I'm a basketball fan.
Right.
And you spend the money to sit courtside or wherever you're going to sit. Stephen A., I'm sure, is going to sit courtside.
Yes. I would have, yes.
Yeah, I like about five rows back, a little cover, but you still get a view.
No, I'd have sat.
Okay, rich people problems.
The point is, sometimes so you can cheer. And here's the problem. You know why the Knicks lost last night? I'm going to get to Trae Young in a second. Let me do my best, Stephen A. Because of you.
Yeah.
And the nauseating Knicks fans, just like you. What did Trae Young say right after the game? Right after the game. They were chanting, expletive you.
No, you can say the word F. You can say the letter
F. This is a family
F Trae
program.
Young. It is a family program. F.
Kids, earmuffs.
F is a letter in the alphabet. It's a letter in the alphabet. Yes.
The point is, he turned around and said, yeah, actually, expletive you. Shh. Right? You are poking the bear, Knicks fans. The same Knicks fans who showed up come hell or high water when Dolan was ruining the team and are having Charles Oakley arrested. You showed up all the time and cheered him on anyway, giving him no incentive for better behavior or a better product. You finally, what do you say, a dead clock is right twice a day. He finally hires the right people after two decades, and they're a four seed. They're in the playoffs. New York, stand up is all I hear. Okay. And then you poke the bear, the best player on the other team, and he hits it in your face to beat you, and then afterwards tells you, be quiet, and this is what, let me tell you what motivated me. The whole arena, Madison Square Garden, he said Times Square, he's a few blocks off, but chanting that at me. Congratulations, Knicks fans. Congratulations.
Well,
you just cost yourself game one.
Well, I will tell you this. Number one, he wasn't wrong to say Times Square because the hotel that he was at was near there. And the fact of the matter is that there were people in the streets chanting that prior to the game. So that's what he was alluding to. He's not inaccurate in that. Secondly, even if I were courtside, I would have never, ever chanted that.
No.
Towards Trae Young or any player for that matter. I have style. I have class. I have decorum. You can't conduct yourself.
Would you have been loud?
No, I would. I would have been cool. I'm just a cool kind of dude.
I'm just glad he got like through security easily and didn't have those problems.
All the ladies in security and the medical people the doing the tests and stuff like that. You know, they were so kind to me and they helped get me through there, and I appreciate that.
Probably that's what
they
did.
They took care of me.
You got to bring your ID.
No, I didn't.
I'm saying just generally, you got to bring.
I had it with me. They just didn't ask to see it. I mean, they know who I am.
They asked Spike and Oakley.
But you know what? Kevin Durant said. Kevin Durant. Stephen A, you know who I am. You know who I am. That's why I didn't have to show my ID. But here's the bottom line.
Or as Ghost once said, my face is like my passport.
Back to the game. Gotcha. Back to the game. Here's the reality. Wasn't a great day for Tom Thibodeau. Wasn't a great day for him at all. Alfred Payton, God bless the kid. He's got promise and whatever. He's really, really struggling right now. His confidence is shot. These are the playoffs. This ain't time for getting the feelings and act like Dear Abby. He got to be on the bench. Put Derrick Rose up in there. Put Quickly up in there, who came off the bench, gave him a spot. Obi Toppin came off the
Quickly
bench, gave him a spot as well.
Quickly wasn't scared at all.
Not even a little bit.
At all.
And was sparking up the crowd because he was hyped and played like he was hyped.
Obi Toppin wasn't scared either. I got to give it to
exactly.
him.
Exactly. So I'm mentioning them for a reason. And if you Julius Randle, Greg Anthony was calling the game, and by the way, did an exceptional job of doing so. He works on NBA TV. Our former colleague here at ESPN does a fabulous job calling the games. His son is in the NBA for Orlando. He's got a lot of promise as well. Here's the deal. Greg Anthony pointed this out, and I couldn't have said it better myself. Just because you can't make shots right now doesn't mean you can't make plays, Julius Randle. That was just an incredibly astute analysis because Julius Randle was so busy looking for shots that he was missing on opportunities to make plays. Alex Burke had 27. He had 9 of 13 shots, 3 of 5 from three-point range. Derrick Rose was putting on the show. He was balling. You had two guys on the court with you that were making plays. You could have made sure you facilitated things for them better. So I'm looking at Julius Randle. It's just a game. It doesn't take away from the great season that he's had. I believe in the brother. But at the end of the day, he has got to be, if you're going to be the star of the team, understand the star ain't because of the points that you make. Star on your squad being the star is because you're making plays for other people.
Judge yourself by your enemies, right? That's like how big a deal are you? Look at your enemies. Once upon a time, the Knicks were the enemies of Michael Jordan. That was our consolation prize when I used to be a Knicks fan. Like, at least Jordan always says, they give me the toughest game. Yeah. The Knicks' enemy now is Trae Young. No shade at Trae Young. He's an excellent young player. He's not a top 10 player. The Atlanta Hawks are not a fearsome team. They're a lower
Max
seed.
Max, it's one game, bro.
And by the way.
It's one game.
Okay. But that's what just happened. You just lost home court.
Because
Trae Young did it in your face after
We're
you told him to, basically.
We're going forward.
Yeah, they'll have home court back by the weekend.
It was a rough night for you.
They'll have home court back by the
weekend. It was a rough night for the Knicks. It was a rough night for Anthony Davis to the West. The Suns were shining yesterday, taking down LeBron, AD, and the Lakers in Phoenix, 99-90. A scare with Chris Paul's shoulder, but he did return. He's dealing with soreness, expects to be fine. Game two. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis had an off night, couldn't get anything going. However, LeBron is confident that when AD takes ownership like this, the next game expects a turnaround. Here's AD.
There's no way we're winning a game, let alone a series, you know, with me playing the way I play. So, I mean, this was on me. I take full responsibility for sure. It would be a better game, too.
All right, Davis shot 5 of 16, had 13 points in game one, tied for his fewest in a postseason game. AD's 31% field goal percentage Sunday was his worst in a postseason game in his career. Max,
yeah.
Was this more about AD or Booker?
Devin Booker. I told everybody going into the game, remember on Friday when I said, that's the dude you have to fear, Devin Booker? Know why? Out of everyone in the NBA, the guy whose offensive game reminds me the most of the Mamba, Kobe Bryant, it's Devin Booker. That's the mini Mamba right there on offense. The footwork, can hit a shot from anywhere, fearless. Let me tell you something. Devin Booker stepped onto the court, first ever playoff game in his career. There's LeBron James. There's Anthony Davis. There's Chris Paul, his teammate. And he was clearly the best player on the floor. Think about that for a second. LeBron, AD, and Chris Paul all going to the Hall of Fame first ballot, all tons of playoff experience, championships everywhere you look. Devin Booker was easily the best player on the floor for his playoff debut. And you know why this doesn't surprise me? I always wondered about Devin Booker. Is he an empty calorie stats guy? He's putting up big numbers and shooting on a bad team. Then I saw what he did in the bubble. Eight games, he averaged 31-6-5, went 8-0. 31-6-5, went 8-0. He was the best player in the bubble during the regular season. He gave him 34-8-7. He was even better when they needed him most. Chris Paul goes down. He's out for a while. When he comes back, you can see him favoring the shoulder. Don't worry about it. Book got this. I know DeAndre and other guys played well for sure, but who was the best player on the floor? Think about that one. It was Devin Booker. Wow. And by the way, I'm not even surprised.
Well, none of us are surprised. The way we've seen LeBron and Anthony Davis look as of late, it was Devin Booker's first game. We saw his play in the bubble. We've seen him throughout this season. And we saw him in his career before Chris Paul ever arrived. And we know what an offensive juggernaut that he is. So next time you want to tell us the sky is blue, feel free. I'm really, really interested in knowing how innovative that is.
Great.
I will tell you is this. This is what I will tell you. Even though I will concede that Devin Booker definitely was the best player on the court last night, and you want to use that as an argument, that's fine. The story is DeAndre Ayton against Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is one of the top five players on the planet when healthy. Anthony Davis had an atrocious performance. An atrocious performance. And Anthony Davis knows it. And I have no doubt that he's going to come back after this because we've seen him respond when he's had questionable performances in the past and make amends immediately. And I fully expect it. Here's what I would say to Anthony Davis. You damn well better have. DeAndre Ayton, let me throw these numbers out for you. 21 points, 16 rebounds. Hit 90% of his shots, 10 of 11 shots, and was a plus 16 when he was on the court. He played 36 plus minutes. Anthony Davis played 38 plus minutes. You were on the court when that brother was
biggest minus
court.
In the game.
You were and the biggest minus in the game. A minus 18. What is it? What is it, Anthony Davis here? Minus 18. Minus 18 with Anthony Davis on the court. Just 5 of 16 shots, 31% shooting from the field. Okay, excuse me. How many rebounds did you have? Seven? Seven rebounds? Seven rebounds and shooting 31% from the field? And this young pup, okay, first playoff game, takes it to you like that. Wait a minute. He looked bigger. He looked stronger. He looked like he had more. This is DeAndre Ayton we talking about here. Now, we know he's good. And we know that CP3's been working with him. And we know that CP3 has been in his face and in his ear saying, in order for us to come out of the West, we need you. Mm-hmm. We know CP3 been preaching that to him all year long. And he's developing and he's got better and he's got better. But to sit up there and to play against Anthony Davis like that,
well,
to outshine him directly. This is not, oh, Devin Booker, you're an off guard, but Anthony Davis is the big boy and you have better numbers. No, this guy plays opposite you.
Right.
It was mano a mano to some degree. He went up against you. We all knew you needed to play like a man amongst boys in order for y'all to beat this Phoenix Suns team, which is really good. And who and what happened? This brother looked bigger, stronger, faster, more active, like he wanted it more, scored more points than you, had more rebounds than you, shot better from the field than you, and was a better individual from a plus-minus perspective. That is very, very bad.
But
and Anthony Davis has some making up to do in game two.
You just said, to me, the key was he looked stronger. Mm-hmm. His physical strength was too much for AD. And the crazy thing about the Suns, as I said, going into this season, he's the biggest question mark. Your number one overall draft pick was already pretty good. Your biggest question mark. He plays like that, the Suns are going to be a big problem. Hold on.
I think the Suns going to win.
I'm saying going to be a big problem, period, through the West. Here's the thing about AD. And I also told you this. Last year, in the playoffs, in each round of the playoffs, AD shot better than he normally shoots from the outside. Now, you and Perk are trying to tell me the outside just means the outside, the painted area. Really, in the last 10 years, when people say the outside, I'm talking about, when I say the outside, I'm talking about three-point line. You know, a stretch four nowadays or a stretch five means you can shoot from the outside, from three. Get that extra point. And AD was doing that in every series. It's like 38%, 40%. The worst they think he shot in a series is like 33% from outside. That's not AD. Maybe he's just a dude when the lights shine brightest, he can do that. Maybe LeBron and Rondo are giving him these open looks. Whatever it is, for the Lakers to repeat, he kind of has to be that guy still. Not that he makes his money out there, but he's got to be able to do that. He's not doing that right now. So what does that leave him with? That leaves him with a matchup where on the interior, he's dealing with a young, healthy, physically stronger, number one overall draft pick who just went, 21-16 in the game. Ayton absolutely played well. AD positively did not, and he copped to it. Chris Paul got hurt. LeBron could be better. You can add it all up however you want. Devin Booker was the star of stars, and there were a lot in that game.
Nobody's debating that he was the star of stars, but if Anthony Davis was a man treating DeAndre Ayton like the boy he's supposed to be treated like, by that I mean inexperience, age, the fact that this was his first playoff game, if Anthony Davis had treated him like he was supposed to be treated, the Lakers still walk away winning this game in all likelihood, even with Devin Booker doing what he did, because Anthony Davis would have been that man he was supposed to be. Look at the highlights. Look at what they're showing about. Turn around, fall away, jump shots, contested, turn around, jump shots on the baseline, pulling up from three at the top of the key. You got to go in the post and remind that kid, yo, you're going to have to contend with me. And by the way, I'm tired of this getting ignored. When you have a formidable big man that you're going against, unless you're so significantly undersized, there's nothing you can do. If you're looking at eye level and you're up there with him in weight, girth, whatever, you're supposed to attack him. You know why? Because there's such a thing called foul trouble. You don't get to foul all day long and stay on the court. You only got six. And when you are attacking somebody, sometimes they'll lay off you because they want to make sure they're in the game later.
Yeah.
So if you're Anthony Davis and you're shooting jump shots, you're letting Ayton off the hook.
Yeah, but you
because
saw
you don't have to worry about foul
but
trouble.
Ayton was the bigger, stronger. Right.
You still got to go
in. Real quick.
By the way, without Chris Paul. I want to just point out again. Chris Paul
showed a lot of heart.
He showed a lot of heart, but for long stretches, they didn't have him.
Yep.
And then when he came back, he wasn't as effective because he was favoring one shoulder. Booker had to carry the load. They won by, 9 points with Book doing what
he
did.
We got
to
go. Who takes game two? One word.
Lakers.
One word. Let's go.
Lakers.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
LeBron James was found to be in breach of the NBA's health and safety protocols this week. James won't be suspended, sources telling our Adrian Wojnarowski, as the nature of the event didn't rise to a threat level of virus spread. James was one of several high-profile guests present at a promotional event for a tequila brand that he backs earlier this week before the Lakers' play-in game against the Golden State Warriors. James, who has declined to say whether he has received the COVID-19 vaccination, was found to be in violation of the league's health and safety protocols. Here's LeBron on Friday on whether he's received the vaccination.
Anything that I do off the floor is predicated to my family, for the majority, for 99.9% of that. So, it's about the health and safety of my family. And that's what it came down to. Me being available to my teammates on the floor, me taking my body, doing everything I can do to make sure I'm available both mentally, physically, and spiritually as well. So, but anything of that nature, that's all family talk.
And do you mind me asking if you're confirming that you did get the vaccine?
It's not a big deal.
Okay. So Charles Barkley, here's what he had to say. Some strong words on the subject. I love Adam Silver. Rest in peace, David Stern. Best commissioner in sports. The NBA ain't got the expletive to expletive suspend LeBron James. Zero. Listen, today when I read that, sometimes you read stuff, you just start laughing. Hey, the NBA, they ain't got no chance of suspending LeBron James. If it was a nobody, they would have put him in health and safety protocols. Ain't no expletive way LeBron is going to be sitting out with all that health and safety protocols. When I read that, I just started laughing. LeBron James is playing Sunday, guaranteed. Now, according to league protocols, players who fail to comply with rules are subject to warnings, fines, or suspensions. Players who repeatedly break the rules could be subject to more severe discipline. Mr. Smith, You're up first. How does the NBA look?
Well, the NBA looks a little weak. Let me say for the record, I don't care. I would have made the same decision. It is a double standard without question. Nobody's checking the king, as my man Charlie Mack likes to say. You can't have the playoffs without LeBron James. Because of some off-the-court matter. No. You can't do that. That's just bad for business. And we all know business is what this all comes down to. Having said that, let me say that. Even though the NBA looked weak, I would have looked weak too, because I would have done the same damn thing. I would have acknowledged that he was in violation of safety protocols, but I would have still let him play. I'll be damned if I'm having the playoffs without LeBron James because LeBron James sitting out. Oh, no, that ain't happening. I'm not doing that. So let me be very, very clear, because what I'm about to say is going to be just the complete opposite point of what I just made. While I'm acknowledging that it was weak, but I would have done the same thing, let me take a moment, Max Kellerman here, step aside just for a second here for me to get on LeBron James. He should be ashamed of himself. LeBron James should be ashamed of himself. It was weak, his response to it. It was leaderless. It was inexcusable for him not to provide a better explanation. I'm talking about his comments when asked about it.
You mean about the vaccine or about the...
Everything, okay. And I'm going to explain why. Everybody has the right to their own privacy. You don't want people to let people know whether you took the vaccine or not. That is your business. But there's a whole bunch of things that LeBron James has elected to speak up about that he felt was a detriment to our community, and he, because he's a leader and he wanted to bring attention and a voice to matters, he felt compelled to speak up. But on the matter of the vaccine, you got nothing to say all of these months. Nah, it don't work that way. You either want to be out front and center, bringing a voice to issues, or you don't, period. But in this particular instance, Molly and Max, where it resonates more exponentially, is the fact that here you are, LeBron James. You know what the safety protocols are for the NBA. You know how it looks. You know that it got Kyrie held out for a bit longer than he was supposed to be out, along with other players. But you do it anyway. Why'd you do it? Because you LeBron James. And we all know who you are. And why do I bring that up, Max? Remember when I came on this show, Max, during the bubble, and I reported about that meeting, you know, after Mr. Blake was killed in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and they were talking about playing or not playing or what have you, and they had that meeting, and some of the players went at LeBron because LeBron's attitude was, y'all do what y'all want, I got mine. Who the hell, please, I ain't got time for this. And he had an uppity kind of attitude towards colleagues and that contemporaries in that meeting. He let them know there's levels to this and you ain't on it. And he had that kind of attitude, that dismissive attitude, because I'm the king, I'm LeBron, y'all ain't, and that's that. And some dudes were put off by it.
When you say dismissive attitude, toward what exactly?
They were talking about whether they should play or shouldn't play or whatever. And I don't remember exactly what it was because it's been months since I talked about that. But at the time, if you go back to the clips, and I talked about it right here on this show, he turned people off with his attitude because he was acting like he's above the crowd. And it really turned a lot of those young cats off. And they came at him. And I came on the air the next day and I reported that. What I'm trying to say is that in a roundabout way, this is similar because you know because you LeBron James, you could go out there and do stuff that other cats can't do. And there was no way in hell that the NBA was going to sit you down. And that's what I'm saying. You have no business doing that. If you're going to put yourself in that kind of position, what you've done essentially is put the league in a position to look the way they're looking. You got other players looking at you and like, that's LeBron, ain't going to happen. You got Charles Barkley giving out quotes. I'm laughing at this because there's no way in hell they're going to sit down LeBron James. You got all of that noise because you LeBron James, you know it. And at the end of the day, you didn't give a damn. You was going to do what you want to do. And to me, come playoff time, with the position that the league is in because of a global pandemic, I just think that that was a very leaderless thing for him to do.
Well, number one, we're on the same. I'm not going to debate you about the pragmatism of the league. Pragmatically, practically, you ain't sitting LeBron James down and putting through health and safety protocols, and he just may miss the first round. Now you're going to lose the first round. Lakers out of the playoffs. Their business interests, I understand. Sometimes they can compromise the kind of letter of the law. That's number one. Number two, the reason, you know, measles and mumps were basically gone. Then I remember I was living out in L.A. and measles were back. Why were measles back? Because a lot of anti-vaxxer nonsense, pseudoscience and nonsense. People don't want to get vaccinated. And, you know, we were in the middle of a pandemic. The death tolls were mounting. They were staggeringly high. And then lo and behold, all the pushing and all the hard work. And it was like people look at this. Oh, my God, we have not just one. We have multiple vaccines. We get out of this. Everyone get the vaccine. I understand there's some hesitance for various reasons. We talked about it. But at this point, you can be twice vaccinated from a couple different. There's a Johnson & Johnson. You get one vaccine. You're good. You know, kids, when they go to school, you have to get the measles, mumps, and rubella shots. You got to do it. Or guess what? You don't go to school. And I'm of the mind, and I've said this before, and everyone disagreed with me, the NBA should make it mandatory. You want to play? Get vaccinated. Then you know what, Stephen A? This is not even an issue. Right. It's not even an issue. And in terms of LeBron, I don't want to say that simply because I can't imagine what the reason would be for not being forthcoming about it, that there may not be a reason. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say I can't imagine what the reason would be if he is vaccinated.
Right.
Not just to say, look, I'm vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then people like me would be like, all right, you know what? You should be all right if you're vaccinated.
Right. By the way, correction on my part. I know Jacob Blake was not killed. I'm sorry. I misspoke. I know he was not killed in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I know that. But I hear what you're saying in regards to that. And my whole thing is this. The NBA is going to tell you it's not even close to the same situation as other situations, that LeBron James wasn't in violation of any safety protocol. You know, they're not going to say that because they acknowledge that obviously he could have handled the situation better. I'm talking about the optics.
That's what I mean. I want to know which part you're talking about, both of you, because I feel like there's two issues, that he didn't take the, or he won't answer whether or not he took the vaccine, and I understand HIPAA protects you. That's your issue, or more that he went to the event, because they're separate.
To me, it's the optics of how everything looks. And the reason why I lumped them both together is because, again, I'm imagining that safety measures were put in place for him to attend that event. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining, I know for a fact that he has the right not to reveal whether he's taken the vaccine or not. Two points in that is, number one, with the vaccine, you've spoken out about everything else that you felt was detrimental to the African-American community, and the whole COVID-19 pandemic has proven to be problematic, not just for everyone in the world, but in particular the African-American community. It's affected us in a very detrimental way. And then when you come to the court to talk about the optics of him going to an event right before the playoffs, I'm saying, yo, man, how is that going to look? It looks like you can do things. It looks like you can do things to get away with it. Go ahead, Max.
I would just say, to answer your question, from my point of view, is the rules were put in place at a different point in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Things have changed. And we're all in this kind of gray area where we're negotiating how it's changed and what's the new normal and all of that. And the issue is, we can come out of it even faster the more people get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's praying for a miracle. Like, here it is. You can get vaccinated, we can get out of this thing. So if a very public figure like LeBron refuses to even talk about it, let alone stump for it, then it is detrimental.
Which is his right.
But beyond that, I'm of the mind that the health and safety protocols are overdone if you are vaccinated.
Yeah.
If LeBron were to come out and say, I'm vaccinated,
I'd be like,
all right.
Can I say one thing really quick here, Stephen Knight, to devil's advocate to both of you guys here? And obviously, you know, my grandmother died of COVID-19. I took the vaccine on my birthday as soon as I could get it. But I'm thinking maybe with LeBron, and I'm just reading between the lines, maybe he did not get it. Maybe he chose not to because he was scared to put this foreign substance in his body, right? You know, his body is a temple at another level than the rest of us. And maybe speaking to the African-American community, he thought it wouldn't be wise, and being sensitive to that issue, to come out and say, I did not take it, because so many people would follow suit. So he just said,
here's the problem.
I can't touch
Here's the problem with what
And he also
said.
Doesn't want to stump time for
that's
it.
That's where I would have to time protect time him time if that's what out. Happened.
Here's the problem with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm not debating none of that. What I'm saying is, you shouldn't be silent when you want to talk about everything else. That's the point.
That's a different issue. Can you cherry pick social issues? That's another issue we have to discuss.
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about whether I'm not sitting here saying he should take the vaccine or shouldn't. I took it, you took it.
Yeah.
I think he should, but if he doesn't, he does. That's his choice.
Quick.
What I'm saying is, you can't be quiet about this when you're impotent.
You and I disagree.
We could debate that another time.
What I'm saying is, if you want to go to an event, what you're saying is right. Maybe he doesn't want to speak publicly because he has mixed feelings. He doesn't want to be a hypocrite. Well, there might be lots of reasons. But then don't go to the event, because now you're putting the league in a position where they really ought to suspend you. Right. They really ought to put you in health and safety protocols. So he's entitled to do all that
optics.
Fine.
That's true.
Don't go to the event.
Which is why I brought up optics.
If we have time later, I think we should revisit this.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
After a slow start in game one, the Brooklyn... Oh, Stephen A., we're not going there yet. We need to.
We need to stop. We need to just to finish off this whole LeBron conversation. League source, okay? And I mean the league. Mm-hmm. Many, many differences here, not even close. The event was outdoors. Kyrie's wasn't. The event had every person either vaccinated or tested. That wasn't the case with the Kyrie Irving situation you brought up. LeBron was there for a few minutes. Kyrie Irving was there for hours. Situations are not even close. Significant numbers of protocol violations this year, and this is how they was handled. We've had significant numbers of protocol violations this year, and this is how they were handled. Quarantines are not punitive. They are for healthy and safety. LeBron's activity put no one at risk, as determined by the league's investigation and doctors. That is why there was no quarantine. We have not suspended anyone all year for a protocol violation. There you have it.
Yeah, we weren't talking about suspension. Let's just be very clear. We meant health and safety protocols. Right.
But that's important context because it's very different. And LeBron was careful in that situation.
Yep. Exactly.
But he
also knew what the picture would entail, how it would look, and what kind of reaction people would get. It was at Rich Paul's house, mm-hmm. the yep. event in Beverly Hills. And so he knew how it would be perceived. He knew how it would look. And if you know that, either don't show up, or when you do show up and you have a press conference with people wondering why you're still allowed to play, have a better damn answer than what he gave.
If that info is true, it does change the thinking about it.
Is from the league.
And they took
all the proper protocols. Okay. Thank you for that context. It's important. All right. After a slow start in game one, the Brooklyn Nets' big three was off and running in the second half. Durant had 32 and 12. Irving had 29 points. Harden finished with 21 in the win over the young Boston Celtics. After struggling to make anything from the outside in the first half, the second half was all about the big three. They were 50% from the field on contested looks in the second half, and they were 14% in the first. Stephen A.
Yeah.
Can we please stop worrying about the Brooklyn Nets now?
I told everybody. I mean, I was on with the wonderful Malika Andrews, our halftime show on Twitter.
Love Malika.
Yeah, she's the best. And,
excellent.
You know, she was she was talking to me, and she asked me during halftime, is there anything to worry about here? Anything to worry about? Consider. I said, nothing at all. Nothing at all. I watched the Brooklyn Nets one day play against the Los Angeles Clippers and score. I went to the kitchen to grab a drink and came back, and they had erased the like 5-point deficit and was up like 13. I mean, this is who they are, okay? I wasn't worried about it at all. Boston just doesn't have enough weapons. And when you have the big three playing the way that they're capable of, I mean, it's pretty hard to imagine anybody stopping them. They came out a bit tight. They were hyped and stuff like that, a little bit tight. But in the end, here's the thing that we have to say about the Brooklyn Nets that cannot go unnoticed. The big three knows it's about them. They win, it's because of them. They lose, it's because of them. Nobody's going to bring up Mike D'Antoni. Nobody's going to bring up Steve Nash. Nobody's going to bring up Joe Harris or anybody else. Okay? They're going to bring up the big three. Everybody knows that. So when we understand that, to watch them play, I'm watching their communication with one another. You understand? Their selflessness with one another. These brothers are focused. They're locked in. They ain't playing. And they coming to take people out. We knew they were going to do that anyway to the Boston Celtics. But when you watch everybody else in the playoffs go through some things, and then you look at Brooklyn, they just look at each other and they're communicating with each other. And then they just put their head, they take their chin, and they tuck it down to their chest. And they just look at each other and they're like, let's go. Mm-hmm. And that's what you saw Saturday night. I expect a sweep in this series. I don't expect the Boston Celtics to win a single game. And it is because somehow, some way, these brothers, I don't think it's going to come down to one of them saving the day each game. I think that they're so locked in together that collectively as a dynamic trio, not to take anything away from Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, and others, but as a dynamic trio, they're so locked in such a way that annihilation is what's on their mind. I actually think game one was an aberration. I think it's going to look a lot worse in game two for Boston.
First of all, I like the Nets in three. Okay, that's number one. Number two, like, I think Boston has no chance.
I laughed quicker this time. I got it.
Boston has no chance. And what you really want to get a laugh, check social media at halftime in a game like that. Oh, the haters come out about the Nets. Oh, where's your big three now? I'm thinking, it's not even worth responding.
Boston fans are the best.
But like even just Nets haters, like, you know what's about to happen? The first half was real simple. KD was trying to get himself going, and he was getting pretty good looks. But when you the basketball gods have a way of punishing teams where it's ISO, take a shot, ISO, take a shot, right? And that was, they really weren't a cohesive unit first half. It was a lot of ISO. KD would bring the ball up. Sometimes there'd be no passes. And, you know, he's 7 feet tall. He can shoot the lights out. He'd shoot it, wouldn't go in. A lot of guys were just, they were getting decent looks, not going in, not moving the ball. Boston was moving the ball real well and everything and hitting shots. And then everything Stephen A. said was right, especially when James Harden checked back into the game. I forgot why he was out, but he checks back in. The offense get a little more organized, and the Nets take off. Here's the scary thing, Stephen A. Mm-hmm. What was the final score? 104-93?
Yeah.
Not the worst Nets defense I've ever seen, right? Like, even on a day where everything's not clicking right away and they're kind of, like, waking up and figure, oh, yeah, we're down a few points. Okay, let's take care of this. Their defense was not so bad. And all the Nets defense has to be is not so bad. If the Nets defense is not so bad, I don't think they, and they're healthy, I don't think they can lose. And that's what I saw. And you know, Harden came in and organized the offense. It was
I felt bad. Like yesterday morning, I had to fly to Boston and then drive to Brockton, Massachusetts. The memorial service for Marvin Hagler took place. He would have turned 67 yesterday. And, you know, obviously you're honoring him and you're paying homage to the greatness that he exhibited. But it's also semi-sad because he's not there any longer, mm-hmm. you know. And I brought all of that up to say I didn't want to put people in the worst mood, but they kept coming up to me because it's right outside of Boston. And they're asking me the chances of the Boston Celtics. Mm. Like, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? I mean, they say, come on, Stephen A., we got a chance, man. I mean, you got... No, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't. I mean, listen.
You should have said maybe you'll get Julio Jones.
Yeah, maybe, right?
Bill Belichick's said that.
I
said, trying.
You know what? I was talking to a few people about Bill Belichick and the Patriots just to distract them from the misery that Boston Celtics would bring. Oh, they will be this year, though. But I'm just saying, I mean, I'm looking at them. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about the Patriots because you have a chance, okay? You have a chance. You got people that's coming back that didn't play last year because they passed up the season because they didn't want to deal with COVID and stuff like that. I expect the Patriots to make the playoffs this year. I had to change the subject to football because the people in Boston and outside of Boston, because you know one of my favorite spots is the Liberty Hotel. They got a beautiful restaurant.
Yeah.
The hotel is fantastic.
I do love that.
So I went there to eat breakfast and you got people coming up to me and I'm like, look, man, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You have no chance.
That's a little underground
cave. You have no chance. Yes.
Don't feel that sorry for them. Do you know how many parades that city has had?
I'm just saying. You know.
I was just trying to bring up John the Beast Mugabe or something. I'm just trying to distract them somehow. Some Hagler talk.
I mean, that's right. I mean, Hearns was there. Bernard Hopkins was there. But I'm just saying that you just look at it and it's like, come on, Al Bernstein, the great Al Bernstein was there. All of these people. Yeah. But I'm just looking at them and I'm like, you got no shot. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah. And I was just, you know.
That's how you feel.
Trying to be nice.
Knicks, this, you know,
you're trying to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but that. See, he's switching it like that. Now he's back.
Not with Atlanta. Now, if they were going against Brooklyn, yeah, I mean, you know, that's different. Not with Atlanta. They got a shot. I picked the Knicks to win this series in 7 games.
Yeah. Are you going to Atlanta?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm going there Thursday night. The New York's in the building.
I don't know. Are you the Black
New York's
cat
in the building. New York's in the building.
And I love. And
listen,
games.
listen. I love the ATL. Else. The ATL has been very, 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 very good to me. But the point is, I'm going down there for business. Okay? They're the New York's. That New York's in the house. We taking over Phillips Arena. Watch the Knicks fans in the New York's in the building. New York's in the building. I was just telling you.
So reasonable. I had to let these Celtics fans know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, God. What about the Knicks? New York's in the house.
New York's in the building.
At least you have the Georgia peaches, all right?
I'm going to have that, too. I'm going to have that, too.